Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The letter to the Hebrews presents Jesus as the great high priest. That's the predominant theme that flows all the way through the book. At the end of chapter 2, the letter says, "In all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." And then he begins chapter 3, "Therefore, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ." Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, of the priesthood of the Old Testament. That priesthood, the Levitical or the Aaronic priesthood, including the office of high priest, with all of their sacrifices and rituals, are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The Old Testament high priest had to pass through the veil of the temple to enter the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, where he pled most directly with God on behalf of the Israelites. But Jesus had passed through the heavens to stand at the throne of grace, pleading before God on behalf of his brethren. Jesus, the high priest, is the eternal Son of God. But because he assumed human flesh, was made like his brethren, he is in a position to plead on behalf of us in a way that no Old Testament priest possibly could. For though he was tempted to sin in every way that we are tempted, yet he was without sin. Now, in this comment about the temptation, the letter to the Hebrews points back to the focal point of Jesus' temptation on earth. Even though it is quite true that our Lord, from his very beginning in this world, endured temptation every day of his life, the focal point of his temptation came right after his baptism by John. And out in the wilderness, he was tempted in three striking ways by Satan. Now we have to ask what this temptation of Jesus actually meant. Jesus' temptation was not an empty exercise. It was not play acting. It was not a symbolic act, an empty ritual through which he had to go as though he were making the motions. But it was a real, it was an actual temptation. Jesus was really tempted, and he was tempted in such a way that it was suffering for him. So far as his human nature alone would be concerned, he could have sinned. But he was not only the Son of human flesh. He was the eternal Son of God. And because he was the Son of God, he did not succumb to the temptation. By virtue of his divinity, he could not sin. And yet, by virtue of his human nature, it was a real temptation. He was tempted in all ways, just like we are. And of course, it is precisely at that point that the words of the Apostle Paul take on their fullest meaning. "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous." If nothing else, the gospel of Christ's temptation, and this commentary on it from the letter to the Hebrews, brings to full flower the meaning of what he is for us, Emmanuel, God with us. Because he was tempted in every way that we are, he knows our temptations, and he truly knows our weaknesses. Every day, we face those temptations. The temptations that confront young and old and everybody in between may take different forms, but at the heart of those temptations, they all come down to the same thing, to set ourselves in the place of God, to know better than God's word knows, and to exalt ourselves over all others. To those temptations, all of us fall prey in one way or another. But in the words of our lesson from Hebrews, we are asked to believe, indeed, we are called to believe, that even those temptations which we think are modern, our Lord has also faced. And the other sins facing our generations today, we could say much about them, including the ever-present temptation to violate the sanctity of marriage and all of the violations of truth which surround us day after day. But the first lesson that we are to learn from this Word of God is that our Lord endured all temptations for us, and that by his obedience, God counts us as righteous. But we are also invited to this great comfort. How do I withstand the temptations which daily assault me? And the answer is simply not by my own strength. How often don't we pray or think, oh, if I could just be stronger? But this is not what our Lord invites us to do. That is just another mistake of our sinful flesh, to even think that we can be that strong. Those who work with alcohol and drug addictions learned the secret a long time ago. They learned that those who rely on their own strength and will and not on their friends are doomed to failure. The source of strength to which they then send people may sometimes have some serious questions raised about it, but they know very well that one essential: no one really has the strength of his own to beat down those temptations. And especially for the Christian, to think that he can withstand temptation on his own strength may turn out to be the greater sin. But instead, we are directed to the throne of God's grace, to Christ's holiness, and to Christ's righteousness. There is where the strength is. It is the King of grace to whom we turn in all of our days of temptation in this life. He is the high priest who knows our weaknesses because he has been tempted in all points just as we are. To him alone be the glory. Amen.